In the age of the customer, many companies and organizations fall short in meeting the needs and wants of their customers, let alone exceeding them. And it's time to change that. Welcome to CX Leadership Talks. Our passion is to be a catalyst for you and your organization as a customer experience leader to help understand, design, and improve experiences across the entire customer journey and the customer lifetime. It's time to spice up your CX leadership, and we've got the pro who's going to talk you through it. This is CX Leadership Talks, and now your host, Ninka Bloom.
Welcome to a new episode of CX Leadership Talks, where we explore the world of customer experience leadership with top industry experts. And I'm so excited because in today's episode, I sit down with Greg Melia, CEO of the Customer Experience Professional Association, the CXPA. We discuss the evolving landscape of customer experience management, the role of CX leaders in today's businesses, and we delve into the importance of ongoing training and validation for us as a CX professional, the significance of the CCXP certification, and the strategic approach to CX development. It's an in-depth conversation, and we touch vital competencies for successful leaders. So we talk about the CXPA global community. Valuable insights are shared in our conversation. So grab a seat. Maybe you're out there having a walk. Join us as we explore the world of customer experience leadership with Greg Melia in this episode of CX Leadership Talks. So, a big welcome to Greg Melia.
Thank you, Nike. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's always good. And I introduced you already, but if you introduce yourself to the room, what do you say?
Sure. I have the best job in the world. I get to lead the customer experience community through the Customer Experience Professionals Association. And what most people don't understand is that customer experience is helping organizations better align so that they can be successful, their employees can be happy, and we can have good value and happiness to customers. So what's a better way to spend your time than bringing that community together and helping them do that better?
Yeah, I think that's a great way. And for me, it's always interesting because when I, of course, as a professional speaker, or sometimes to people, I say, well, I'm an educator, so I'm a teacher of this profession. And people can really imagine what it is. But being the CEO of a global association, do people always understand what it is?
Never. One of my favorite memories is talking about associations in general. I was at a wedding and I was trying to explain working in certification and associations. And the person didn't understand it. And so I said, well, you know, you probably have somebody who does your taxes and they're probably a CPA. And that's an association that has given those letters and that training and that certification. They looked at me still confused and said, so can you help me with my taxes?
I'm just looking at the, you have the CAE behind it. I'm going to type in for the people that might be looking this up on YouTube. I'll also put my CCXP title on there. I also have a CSP title, a certified speaking professional, but hey. But for us, when you look at your career, can you share a defining moment or experience that sparked your passion for CX leading up to your current role? Because, well, you've not been CEO of the CXPA forever, right?
That's right. Yeah. We're coming up on 5 years. So thinking about 5.5 years ago, when I was in a job search, as some people who are watching might be, and I'll just say, keep going. You'll find the right place for you and the right opportunity to make a difference. But I was in that job search, and I saw a posting for the CEO of CXPA on actually a friend's Facebook page. And I didn't know what customer experience was. So I sort of dismissed it because I said, I don't want to spend my time working with people who just listen to angry customers all day. And so that was my perception of what CX was. And it wasn't until I saw it for the third time that I said, you know what, maybe I should research this. And what I found when I started to research it is that customer experience covers many of the books that I have behind me. Systems theory, mission-driven organizations, psychology and social psychology, and the theory of organizations. And I said, isn't this cool that there are people within organizations that are trying to work across silos to elevate a common goal and to drive better performance and better happiness. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And that was the moment when I started to apply. I needed to make a video to introduce myself to the committee. And I go back and I watch that video every year. And I ask, are we making progress on the job that I fell in love with? And it's exciting. I mean, we really are. And special thank you to you, Nanke. You're not just a speaker. You're not just a CX professional, CX trainer. You're also a volunteer with CXPA. And your insight and your contributions are helping to drive our global strategy forward.
Well, thank you. And maybe not everybody knows, as a listener of this podcast, that's true. I've been a member of the CXPA, I think, since 2016. When I heard that there was a CXPA, I went to a session here in the Netherlands, and thanks to Cathy van der Laar, and I learned that there was the title of CCXP. So I wanted to go for that. And I was the third in the Netherlands, I think, at that time. And there were not many even globally. So already now, I think then for the eighth year, so four times the renewal phase. And of course, being a member here in the Netherlands, being a member globally, but also being one of the, well, volunteers here in the Netherlands. We call ourselves board members, but we're not. But that's the only way that people understand what we do. We have a very active community, I think, where we organize a lot. And I have two hats on, which is sometimes pretty difficult for people because I'm also an RTP, a recognized training provider. And sometimes people think I am the CXPA. So that I really have to explain how that it is an association. Like in the Netherlands, I can explain like it's a soccer association, and then you have members and you have like a little body of people that work there. Because how many people work there for people that don't know the world of the CXPA? How many people are, well,
let me
getting
talk a little
paid?
But I have to ask first. So you run a soccer association? So you're
No. But people don't understand because they think there's a huge organization behind it with many, many people. And I always have to tell them it's like an association of, like it's in the Netherlands, we call it a vereniging. Like I am, for example, I live in an old hospital. We have 57 apartments, and those 57 apartments have an association of owners. That is like the association, but this one, that I'm a member of CXPA, is an association of customer experience professionals.
Yeah. And the magic of CXPA is that a lot of people mistakenly think that CXPA is about the seven staff people who come every day and spend their time, you know, with the shirts on and, you know, doing
behind
the scenes, setting up the website, however well or poorly we do that. But the reality is that the power of CXPA comes from the volunteer leadership and the membership contributions. Yep. So yes, we have a board of directors that has 16 members from across the globe on it. But beyond that board of directors, there's actually 10 global regional leadership councils. There's 48 network groups, including in the Netherlands. There's a group that runs the CCXP program. And altogether, that's about 200 volunteers that are working on a consistent basis. Plus, every single member can contribute by being on a listserv or making a blog post or leading a session at the conference. There are so many different areas that really what CXPA is not the six people. It's the community, which extends to 69,502 people on LinkedIn, if I'm reading this more correctly, that are contributing to help raise awareness of customer experience and raise standards for what we do. Because customer experience is a term that people throw around, but they don't know what it is very well.
Yeah. I think we still have some mission work to do there, like being evangelists. And somehow I hoped in 2016 that it will be out of the way in a couple of years, but we're still there. And it is what it is. And I think one of the things maybe before we dive deep, because I want to talk about two broader topics, more of trends, what you see, because I think that's very valid for the listeners of the audience. And then I wanted to dive a little bit deeper on your views on several pillars of the framework, just get some insights. But before we dive into that, because what you have on is that in April, May, the Leaders Advance is going to be in Denver. And I'm going to come over to Denver. So I'm really excited. And probably somebody else from the Dutch volunteer board is going to come too from government. So we have to, but that's, so I think for all our listeners, know that there's a lot out there, not just, I think there's so much value in the forum, in the blogs, in the conversations, in the meetups we have here, but there's also a really broad global community. And I'm so excited to be there in Denver.
Yeah, I'm excited not just to meet you for the second time, because you came across and spent some time with us on your honeymoon. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's a crazy story. Yeah. For everybody listening, there are some people that are really weird that they go on a honeymoon because your husband asks you. I asked him, because I travel a lot for my business. So I said, where do you want to go for our honeymoon? And he said, I got married in COVID, so we could not travel. So later he said, I really want to go to Washington. And I'm like, well, should we go to like a tropical island? He says, no, I'd love to go to Washington. And we booked that. And then you asked me, well, could you make a pre-record keynote? Because we're going to have a CX, conference in Washington. And it was exactly at the same moment. So I asked my husband, look, would it be great if we could combine that? And he's like, okay, I'll walk around a little bit around the city. And I really love what I do. I think that's the conclusion, but that's enough. Let's dive into trends. I think there is a broader view, and you've been in here now for 5.5 years. And when you build and maintain this worldwide CXPA community, what have you found like to be a successful approach or successful approaches in fostering collaboration and knowledge sharing? Can you tell, because I think that's also where we as CX professionals within organizations can learn from.
The very first thing is, and this is a really probably the most important message for some folks that are out there that still need to hear this message. If you are a CX professional, you are not supposed to be a superhero that flies around solving problems. What you need to be is a catalyst that works across the organization to drive that common effort. Nobody likes people to come in and tell them that they're doing something wrong. People like to have a coach and a guide by their side to help them be successful. You know, so you're thinking about it. Don't position the CX person as the hero, but position the team that you're working with. You know, CX together with the HR team, CX together with the finance team to deliver better outcomes for the customer, for your team, and for the organization. We care so much about this that we published a series of monographs for giving you the tools to collaborate. Because if you're going to collaborate with others in the organization, you need to understand the terminology they use, their day-to-day challenges, and how you can help drive their business outcomes. Because they're not going to care about helping you achieve your CX goals until they see that you care about helping them achieve their business outcomes as well.
Yeah, I think that is a major insight. And for those, I think you have to be a member, right, to get a look at those?
Yeah, the great thing is your membership is the best way to have access to everything we've been talking about and online access to not only all of the monographs, but also the CX Book of Knowledge. So one payment gives you that access 365, 24/7. Or if you prefer, you can go to cxbookstore.com and buy them individually.
but I think this is great. And I also know that not everybody, we're going to go into, well, let's first dive into certification and then see what the value is. Because I think a lot of people are, CXP accreditation is hot in the Netherlands. So what we've built somehow is that it's a license to operate and people want to join that. And they are like, I want to be part of that like fabulous community. And I want to show that I understand my profession and that I'm an authority. And I think there's a lot of things going on in the certification part. How do you see that certification landscape evolving for CX professionals? And what value, for example, does the CCXP bring?
Yeah. And I think what's great is, as you talked about the really individual demand side, I think we're also seeing organizational demand side, where we're seeing companies like Microsoft and Amazon and Wolters Kluwer that are posting jobs as CCXP preferred or CCXP required. And that's telling us that there's certification has value in the system. And what value does it have? You know, the number of people that are out there writing books or putting customer experience specialist on the resume is dramatically increasing. You know, as a matter of fact, I think I saw a post from somebody the other day saying that there are 7.5 million contacts on LinkedIn that have the term customer experience in their profile. You start looking at them and the ones that are not bots, you start seeing a lot of them are frontline employees or they're salespeople. My favorite is the misconception that customer experience is a post-sales activity.
But that is like in the B2B, I do see a lot like, and the terminology is customer success. And it is interesting for me because they are a good market for me because the customer success people are often seen within large computer sciences and automation. They are seen as customer experience, but they need to bridge toward sales. They need to bridge toward finance. So for me, they are a very interesting audience because they need to understand. So my masterclass, I've done like 5 last year with customer success teams.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a customer success professional that's listening, thank you for the work that you're doing.
Yeah. But
let's imagine another world. And I'll imagine this additional world that will probably make your world better too. You know, which is, wouldn't it be great if instead of picking up your contact with the customer at the point that a contract is signed, if you could actually work with the product developers, you can work with the folks that help design so that by the time the salesperson makes a promise, you're in a position to deliver on it, you know, so that there's a continuous positive impression for the customer all the way through. Wouldn't that be great for your job? And wouldn't that be great for the customer? And I bet it would be good for the organization's bottom line.
Yeah, but I think that is truly what they want. But the thing is, for an organization, and I think that is the most more difficult, is that the CEO of the organization thinks, customer experience, we have that organized, that's customer success. And that's what you said, right? So there is a whole, well, maybe there has been a deflation of the word customer experience. When I was working, for example, in KPN, and remember, it's 2012, we had a department, when I became responsible for CX, one tier underneath the CEO, and I found out that there was a little other tiny department that was called also customer experience. You know what they were doing? They were writing the guidelines and the set-top boxes manuals. And they were called customer experience. So yes, back to the CCXP. We are having the good conversation.
We're sitting with this one for a minute. We have a lot of work to do with the C-suite and honestly with a lot of other folks to help with that understanding of customer experience. So if you haven't visited, I know you have, and thank you, but if you haven't visited whatiscx.com, visit whatiscx.com so you can see the common foundational definitions.
I'm going to write it down to put it in the show notes,
And when we really think about the CEOs, I was talking with the CEO the other day, and I introduced myself as Customer Experience Professional Association CEO, and he said, oh, my customer success team asked to be renamed customer experience last fall. And so I've done that and they seem pretty happy and it seems to be going well. And so I said to him, oh, well, I bet this year they're going to ask you. And he said, they seem to be going pretty well. They're focusing on post sales, you know, customer experience. And I said, well, I bet this year you're going to hear them ask to be involved in the design and the marketing. And I said, because imagine, I said, certainly not your salespeople, but occasionally salespeople make promises to close the deal that are difficult to fulfill, you know, after. And he laughed and realized sort of the shortcoming of his thoughts there. But that's what CCXP is about. You know, CCXP is an outward visible sign that an individual understands that customer experience begins the moment that a customer learns about the organization and extends all the way through the time that individual stops doing business with the organization. Is the intentional process of trying to make sure that the customer has a positive perception throughout that journey. And the part that I think is really important for us to recognize, it's not just about the customer being happy, but it's about the employees being happy and a positive business outcome. Because if you don't have all three of those elements, you're not going to have sustainable long-term results.
But I think for me, the listener of this podcast knows that. Maybe they're not a member or not a CCXP yet, but many of them are also that. And maybe the people that don't have their CCXP yet, why should they go for it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's two reasons. One, good and inspirational, which is it is going to unlock and connect you to the most amazing connection of people who do what you do and want to have advanced conversations to take CX to the next level. That's the great news. The maybe not so great news is we need to be real that customer experience is a field that has a lot of career transitions. There are changes that happen, and you need to be prepared to make sure that you are marketable. And one of those key elements is to be able to show that the experience that you have is not a one-off story, but it is based on a discipline and a repeatable approach to CX management that you can implement at organizations of different types and different industries and different sizes so that you can drive that success for the organization, the customers, and the employees.
Yeah, and for me, I also say, I think it's 100% true. It also adds to your authority within the organization, especially in the larger organization, having a title behind your name. It gives you the authority. You can say, well, I reached that bar, and it is a difficult accreditation. There's not so many, and I'm a part of that group. So I am the professional. I am the leader in the organization with the authority to lead. I also know, for example, there's two larger organizations in the Netherlands, and one of them is KLM. And they've said for the CX professionals in there, we want you to go for CCXP. That's our license to operate. That's the way that we show that we understand our trade. And I think that is a remarkable goal.
And I think we're going to continue to see that happen. We just had the CCXP added to one of the leading government career job boards in the US. We've had it recognized the vocational training program in Saudi Arabia. And we're having more and more organizations that are saying, it's not enough for you to self-profess yourself as a customer experience professional. You need to show that external validation that you have the experience and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to earn the credential, earn and maintain the credential. Yep. Because it's not just about passing the exam. It's also about doing ongoing training to make sure that you're staying on the cutting edge.
Yeah. And I think when I look at, of course, I do a lot of customer experience masterclass that prepare people for the CCXP. And I always say it's, you have to first understand what it is to be a customer experience professional, understand customer experience management. And if you do that, then you can go for your CCXP. I don't think it's, people say, well, can I do the masterclass and then go for the CCXP? I say, it is a result. It's not, you don't do the masterclass to just go. I think you learn a lot about the trade. But, and I say for the maintaining, so many people do so much on training, giving training, being a volunteer for the CXPA. So I don't think that's the biggest hurdle. I think that is just keeping track of what you do. But if we continue the conversation, in your interaction with all these thought leaders, board members, CX colleagues, what do you see as emerging trends or innovative practices that you find exciting and promising for our field of profession?
Yeah, well, as we sit here today, clearly the big issue to talk about is artificial intelligence.
Here it is.
I think artificial intelligence, I'll share with you a little story. I had the CXPA board meeting last night, and I did two slides in a row. And the first slide was a conversation around what will the conversation around customer experience in a boardroom in 2034 look like? And to demonstrate that, I put up four different images that were generated by AI about what a boardroom conversation around CX in 2034 might look like. And it looked great. And the board members were like, Greg, this is cool. You know, thanks for putting these interesting images and showing how AI can be used. We had the conversation and we came back from the breakout rooms and we had another AI generated space. And it was a word cloud of topics I thought that might come up. And it was also AI generated, and it looked like gibberish because either I wasn't good enough at it or AI wasn't good enough at it. What I think we learned was that I forgot to tell it what language to make the word cloud in. So it used the words that I put in English, but somebody pointed out that one of the words that looked like gibberish was actually Gaelic. And so, you know, this whole idea of AI being a powerful tool, yes. AI being a replacement, no. You know, you have to have an expert that can think about how is a person going to feel when the system knows enough information to predict a person's situation. And, you know, in some cases, we like that. For example, if you send me a note to tell me that traffic is building and I need to leave early in order to make my flight, I appreciate that. However, a few years ago, a major retailer here in the US started sending marketing materials to women that were pregnant but may not have yet known it. And that becomes creepy.
There is a thin line. There's a very thin line.
Yeah. And so we need about that. AI is a tool. AI is an opportunity. AI can save time because I bet every single listener to this podcast has things they would like to do at the end of the day. More things for their job, more things for their personal life, more things for their community, more time for volunteering. Yep. How can we use AI to free up our time to do those things and create more value through multiple chains and worry a little bit less about the question of, is it going to change some of the things that we used to do, and impact jobs? I think it opens a lot of opportunities.
I just taped one episode that it, when we are, well, recording this, it's not been aired yet. And it is about AI in the contact center world, but especially what they can do. And it is for CX. It is for us leaders also to know what's going on there. And it's going so fast. And the generative AI and what they can do. But I've been thinking about, and I've been doing some research, what we can do in journeys, what we can do in journey mapping sessions, what we can do. This was in the contact center in the next best action in helping the agents. They don't have to do what they used to have to do is have a conversation, then do the agent notes, have wrap up time, blah, blah, blah. That's what the system does for them. And they, of course, they have to check if it did it right and what did they miss. And well, with a whole new speech analytics, I've also seen that they can do trend analysis and comparison with surveys. So you can see, like on transactional NPS, you can get it from the way that the emotions are. It's incredible what they do.
There are so many cool things. I mean, I was just on a call with a leader in Brazil, and an example that he brought up was that you could now look at something like a shopping cart abandonment. And if it was a shopping cart abandonment for a book, you could have the AI generate a message cloning the author's voice and dropping a virtual voicemail to the person as if it is coming from the author. And that's a level of personal touch that I think would be very valued today. I'm not sure what that means for us 3 years from now, when people are getting 12 or 14.
True. Yeah.
You know, remember when people first started to be able to put your name in a mail merge and an email and it felt personal? Does it feel personal anymore? No, it does not.
No, but the thing is, I think what differentiates you has also changed. So when we look at it from a CX perspective, and that's also why I really think that, because there is an interesting thing that a lot of CX leaders are working their butts off. Well, that's the nincompoop language, right? So they are working so hard and they're working every day. But when I look at the time they put into their own education, in their own inspiration on what's going out there, they also need to lead the way on the future part, on the future state. So I think it's very important for CX leaders to go out there, learn from other CX leaders, go to conferences, and maybe not just on AI, but take some time to explore and see where, for example, AI can help them as a leader, where it can help their organization, where it can help their CX practice, where it can help their team.
I mean, this is great. And this is a great reminder of where the CX field is going and why it's important for an organization to have a dedicated CX leader.
Yeah.
Where the field is going, it's going to wherever the market is going to go. Before the pandemic, it was moving more towards shared property, shared space, rideshare services, things in a way that were dramatically changed because of external circumstances. AI has been another space where that's come in. So we need people who are thinking ahead and are thinking to those future scenarios and moving CX from being a responsive customer service focused area to being a proactive customer design element. So how to get into the design stage. And what I love about the things you were talking about, incorporating AI into personas and into journey maps, are great tools for us to imagine all of the new markets that we can open and all of the new places we can serve by intentionally thinking about customers at the design stage.
Yeah. Oh, time is going too fast, Greg. And maybe for the people that are watching this video, they might be thinking, why is she wearing her shiny dress? But I thought if I'm meeting with the CEO of the CXPA, I need to dress up a little bit more festive than I normally do. So that's why I picked this one out of my closet today. I try to wear something different. Well, not every time, because the podcast is going to go on and I don't have that many, but this is going to be exclusive for you, Greg. So you know.
I want to talk about shiny blue because my friend Peter might be watching on the podcast. I have a pleated, shiny, short sleeve blue shirt that matches your dress. And I've exactly twice in my life.
Let's see if we can do like a drink in Denver and then where, I don't know if they're going to be like a dress up party, but we'll see about that. Well, so we looked a little bit on trends and what you see from your CXPA point of view, your thought leadership. But when we look a little like at the global CX framework, when I looked at some of the pillars and some of the strategies on it, I thought, let's see your, and one of the things I learned, especially on the strategy part, when I started in CX, I always thought, well, this is done and dusted. We don't have to talk about that. But as I progress, and I'm now it's my 14th year as CX leader and 10th year as an entrepreneur, I think this is, people don't take this serious enough to have a good strategy, to have a good branding, to have good customer promises, brand values. And if you are a government leader, to make sure when is our customer experience a good one. Why do some companies struggle to really prioritize and put this down once and for all?
Yeah.
And what can leaders do?
You know, I think that there's two problems. One is that we have not built the body of knowledge, awareness, and respect for customer experience. Many folks are only hearing the old concepts of customer centricity in isolation when they're going through business school. You know, they're thinking about customer service and they're thinking about only parts of the equation. So we have some work to do to build CX into the higher education framework, into the business school conversation, into leading business journals so that there's an awareness of that. And hand in hand goes the second observation, which is way too many companies are doing something that they call customer experience that does not cover all five parts of the company, the disciplines. And it's sort of like a table or a stool. If you take a leg out, it starts to get wobbly. If you take two legs, it doesn't stand. And so when people think that they're doing customer experience by introducing a voice of the customer program, but not supporting it with design and with that work across the organization, it's going to fail. You know, so you need to make sure that you're thinking holistically across the different elements and moving beyond the platitude of the customer comes first, and instead moving to the more disciplined approach of that we need outcomes that are good for customers and for employees and for business outcomes.
Yeah. What I've been thinking about lately is that what I see, and of course, you cannot start everywhere at the same time. I also think it has what I say, you have to make a photo of your organization, what it's like, assess the maturity, and then see what building blocks need to be in where. And I also think, well, maybe, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I've been really helping my CX leaders and to build like more a roadmap over time. So you say, well, this year, for example, we're going to start on the voice of the customer and going to start on friction hunting. Next year, we're going to build the foundation. I'm going to work on the strategic team and we're going to create elements in leadership. And then after that, we need to accelerate so that it's more like building blocks. So I think we need to take the organization along, not just in the here and now what we're doing, but where are we going? Also to let others see that we are taking our profession seriously and we are taking the organizations towards the future.
That's so well said. You know, as a matter of fact, we're going to have we talked about AI and, you know, you can see our movement, we can jump right to things that you can do. But we have a great session lined up at the conference in Denver, where Stephanie Lahida, CCXP, is going to talk about how they've developed a multi-year AI strategy. you know, so that they can begin to say, okay, well, how do we test? How do we build competency? How do we apply this into the different layers and the different spaces? Yeah. Because it's not a question of the shiny object. It's a question of the strategic outcomes. How do we build that? And, you know, a lot of times we're very hung up in our field on this concept of maturity assessment. And so I'm going to use a different term for a moment. I think it's great to bring in an external consultant to have them help you identify what you're already doing that is building towards customer experience and to understand what you need to do next. You know, so it is that roadmap.
Yeah, and we need to take people along also, because a lot of people are just focusing on like 2024 or what year you're listening to this. But I say you have to take people along towards the future. What are you envisioning for next year? When I look at my business, I have a strategic roadmap for 3 years. Of course, I'm not 100% sure if that's all going to happen, but I want to know where I'm going, where I'm heading. And it's also very important for my team. So they understand, all right, this is what we're going to do now. This is what we're going to do next. So I think also within CX, we need to be, and I'm now working together with Gabe and you on maybe hosting a session on how to craft your CX strategy. And I really think this is a part of it, to take people along, well, more strategically and more future driven instead of just the here and now. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of advice on the here and now. It's important because it helps you in the day, but don't let the... I was at a conference not terribly far from you in Germany some years ago, and they had a phrase, the tyranny of the donuts. And the tyranny of the donuts is that conference organizers get so focused on the break that's going to happen in the donuts that they lose track that why people are at the conference is for conversation and learning and networking and connections.
Yeah.
And so, don't let the tyranny of the donuts run your CX program into worrying about the problems of today. Make sure that it's balanced and you're thinking about
it. Yeah. Well, time is going so fast. So I'm having one last question on the leadership part, and especially what key competencies and skills do you see are important? We already talked a little about AI, about future driven. What is essential for individual aspiring to become a successful CX leader? What do you see? What are traits, skills?
Yeah, I think the strength that I would work on building is optimistic persistence. It is important to recognize this is a long journey, and that along the way of that journey, you need to make sure that you are staying focused on celebrating the progress that you've made and are still aspiring to achieve the larger goals that you have in the future.
I always say, as a little joke, I would say as a CX leader, you have to be like bamboo. So one day the wind goes like whip, and then up your back, and you're growing fast, and you're visible, and you grow into a bush. I say, well, it's because you have to be a little bit flexible, and you're going to be down one day, or maybe have Teflon. But I don't think with the current state, you don't want to be having Teflon. But yeah, they're going to be days that you don't like your job, you don't like your colleagues, you don't like the environment you're in, but you have to be back. The next day, you're like, bam, whoops, you're back again, and hey, here we are. So yeah.
A tough and lonely job, and that's why I highly recommend that you find a group of people who will go on that journey together with you.
Where could you find them, Greg?
Come join us.
Whoa. All right. As we're finishing up, I always have two questions that I really love, because I think the value you already added to the conversation, to our CX profession, is incredible. But it's also nice to get to know a little bit about you. And that is also because I think that as humans share a little bit about our journey, that it helps others and it can connect us a little bit with you. So, first question, what is a habit that you developed and practiced that really delivered, well, CX or other results?
Yeah, it's a habit that I reintroduced, which is curiosity. People may not know is I did a graduate certificate in creative problem solving. And it to answer the question, what are all of the ways we might, or in what ways might we? And to recognize there's not one right way. You know, and so when you're thinking about what's good for the customers, what's good for employees, what's good for the business, a lot of times you need to go through a lot of different iterations, because the first thing you come up with may not be the best solution. So curiosity,
good.
Whether that is meeting new people, reading new books, or even walking through, this is a simple one. I love walking through the office supply store and looking at the new products, because you find all sorts of tools that people have developed for you to do your work in a different way.
Love that. Thank you. And now the last one. What is a book, a podcast, or video that you recommend our listeners spend a little bit time on? Well, that inspired you.
Yeah. Well, I'll go with one that is inspiring me at present. We've talked a lot about that question of how we influence the CEO. And yeah. So a book that I've been working on and using is The Chief Executive Operating System by Joel Trammell and Sarith Secker.
Can you show it one more time for me? Then I'm going to write it down. Chief Executive Operating System. Okay. Yeah.
What I really like about this is it helps you understand that the chief executive role is something that people are often promoted into without having had previous experience. And they need to learn a number of things, but yeah. One of the big ones is the balancing act. And the balancing act is how do you resolve what Joel represents as the two triangles of tension. One, the triangle of tension between sales, marketing, and product. And the other, the triangle between employees, customers, and shareholders. And so yeah. I'm excited about what Joel's put together and how it might help us better understand the CEO's perspective so that we can be better partners.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. I think this was a valuable, I learned a little bit about you more than I didn't know yet. So about the creative thinking and that you have a blue shirt that's also shiny.
I have a blue shirt.
But thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I think also from our listeners that you take the time to share your insights and be really honest. And we're going to meet in Denver and then, have a conversation and a drink.
I absolutely look forward to that, Denki. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you to the Dutch community. You guys are really trailblazers and you're really setting a space and an area for us all to emulate as we move forward.
Well, for everybody that has not linked with you yet, I'll put the link in the show notes. I'll put in the show notes, of course, your book that you recommended. I'll put in the link for CXPA because everybody now, of course, wants to be a member. If you're a member, I think it's such a good deal. And no, I don't have any shares and I'm not an affiliate or whatever. I say this from the bottom of my heart. If you are a CX professional, you should be part of our community, I think.
I agree. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to CX Leadership Talks. Ninka is a customer experience speaker and educator. She has written books and spoken and educated leaders all around the world. She's one of the global thought leaders in the field. We hope you've enjoyed this show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can also find us on YouTube and LinkedIn and ninkabloom.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on CX Leadership Talks.